from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And we're going to talk a little Washington Nationals right now. They got an 8-5 victory over the Cincinnati Reds to kick off the second half of their season. Record improves to 45-53, 21-24 at home. I'd love for them to get over 500 at home here at Nats Park. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Do not place that first bet without checking with BetQL, because BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. You can get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the app or visiting BetQL.com. On the BetQL guest hotline right now, it's Bobby Blanco. What's going on, Bobby?
Good morning, AWOD. Happy Saturday. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good here, but let's start with the one thing that's not very good, and that is the worst possibility for Josiah Gray. What's the latest, Bobby?
Yeah, it's kind of the worst-case scenario, like you mentioned, and the Nationals and Josiah's biggest fear were realized over the All-Star break. We knew going into the break that he was going to go get an MRI on his right elbow. He's been battling back from a flexor forearm strain all season pretty much after only 2 starts. And the MRI showed a slight tear in his UCL in his right arm. And he has opted for surgery next week. It'll be on Wednesday in Texas. And that's going to end his season after only 2 major league starts and a handful of rehab starts, and probably cut into most of next year. Now, we're not sure if this is going to be Tommy John. We're not sure if this is going to be a internal brace procedure, which is a little less invasive than Tommy John, or maybe a hybrid of the two. Josiah said that they won't know for sure what he's going to need until the surgery actually starts next week, when the doctor gets in there and takes a full look at the ligament. I guess at this point, best case scenario is that it's not Tommy John. They can kind of do a lesser procedure, and maybe he has a quicker timeline back. But I think the unfortunate thing is at this point in July, if it is Tommy John, he'll probably miss most of, if not all of, next season as well.
Yeah, that's so disappointing. And you know, we really won't know the timeline officially until we get things further along here. But it's just so frustrating, because this is a guy that, you know, fans had high expectations for after he was the lone All-Star last season. And then this season, remind me, did he only make 1 start this season?
No, it was 2 starts. The All-Star season last year, he was named the opening day starter. This year, he was the first national starter not named Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, or Patrick Corbin to start opening day for them in like a decade plus. So that was like a big moment for this team and for him. You know, it was kind of a passing of the guard that they're moving on towards this younger, brighter future for this team, where Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore, now Jake Irvin, and hopefully at some point Kate Cavalli is kind of leading this rotation into the future. But yeah, he only made it 2 starts, and you could tell something was wrong from both of those starts. He just didn't look like he did at all last year. You know, I think after the first start, you kind of could maybe brush it off as like opening day jitters. He's young, he's excited. But then the second start just wasn't as good either, and stuff just didn't look as sharp as we saw last year, as we saw in spring training. So something was clearly bothering him. And it was the flexor forearm strain. You know, this is actually even more disappointing and really upsetting for Josiah because he was so close to coming back. His second to last rehab start was excellent. 6 innings at AAA Rochester. And, you know, I don't think he or the Nationals know for sure, but you just have to wonder that if, you know, this tear happened in his last rehab start, and if he doesn't make it, like maybe if that second to last start was his actual last and he just had to come up to the majors, maybe this doesn't happen. But you obviously will never know that. You can't really assume or speculate. It is just a very unfortunate circumstance for one of the Nats' young, bright starting pitchers.
Yeah, and we've seen this around the league right now with a lot of pitchers dealing with injuries. The Washington Nationals will face off against the Reds tonight. 6:45 will be your first pitch from Nats Park. But they got an 8-5 win last night and a couple ribbies for James Wood. What was your recap of the game?
Yeah, James got things going. You know, they went down 1-0 kind of early. We got to give a shout out to Patrick Corbin, who pitched great on his 35th birthday. 6 innings, 1-run ball, 6 strikeouts, no walks, only a handful of hits. So he was really sharp last night, which was refreshing to see for everyone involved. But yeah, James Wood got the Nats an early lead with a 2-run single. And then Faber Ruiz and Juan Yepes follow with big home runs in the following innings. So, yeah, they kind of rolled out to an early 8-1 lead. They go into the 9th inning with that 7-run advantage, but, you know, the bullpen kind of collapsed. You know, Davey Martinez was trying to avoid using some of his high-leverage guys because they had such a big lead. Jose A. Ferrer had just come off the injured list, so that seemed like an easy situation to get him back into, like, a game situation. And things kind of spiral out of control. The Reds put up 4 runs in the 8th, and all of a sudden it's a save situation. So all-star Kyle Finnegan had to come in, closed it out. It was an 8-5 win. Everyone ended up going home happy.
It is Bobby Blanco with us here on the BetQL Guest Hotline. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. So in terms of expectations for the second half of the season for these Washington Nationals, I came up with my own list of 3 things, but I'd love for you to name 3 things, expectations for the Nats second half of the season.
Expectations. I think the expectation is to continue playing. One of them has to be continue playing close games and winning games. They're 5 games better than they were at this point last year. So if you can kind of finish, you know, in that 76-80 win range in the second half, I think that's going to be great. I think that's a really nice step, another step forward for this team after what they did last year. Another expectation, I would say, I mean, maybe not an expectation, but I guess the hope would be that you would see a Dylan Cruz, maybe a Brady House up here at the major league level at some point in August or September to finish out the season. That would be really cool to see them on the field with James Wood, with C.J. Abrams, you know, with Luis Garcia Jr., you know, Jacob Young. I think that's probably what fans are looking forward to the most for the second half. And then I guess this is for sure an expectation. What do they do at the trade deadline? I mean, I think guys like Dylan Floro, Jesse Winker, maybe even Derek Law can be traded because they're all on expiring contracts. But the big question mark is Lane Thomas and Kyle Finnegan. Do you trade guys like they just did with Hunter Harvey, who have another year of control? I think, you know, Mike Rizzo spoke to us yesterday, and he said, you know, they're going to listen to calls, but if they don't get an offer that they don't like, they're not going to make a move just to make a move. With those guys, they do play important roles for this team, and they can play an important role for this team next year. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with Thomas and Finnegan in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on staying at this pace to win, you know, 75 games, get above, 73, 74 wins. You see Dylan Cruz in the majors, absolutely something I would point to. I want more home wins. That's my third thing. C.J. Abrams made his debut in the All-Star game here, and I just think that was such a big moment for him. Have you had a chance to talk to C.J. Abrams about getting voted to the All-Star game and what that meant to him and how this maybe push him in the future and make this an expectation to get back there?
You know what, it was such a hectic day for the first game back yesterday. We had Josiah Gray news. We had 2 of their top 4 picks being introduced. We had Mike Rizzo talking to us about the trade and the trade deadline and everything. So actually, if we kind of, you know, a little bit forgot about CJ and Kyle Finnegan, you know, we said congratulations to them all, but we didn't really get to talk too in-depth about their time. But I can tell you that at his locker, CJ had a bunch of stuff back from the All-Star game. Looked like he brought a bunch of stuff back for his teammates, for his coaches. He seemed like he really enjoyed himself down there. And same with Kyle. You know, he was a kind of a last-minute addition, but still had a good time to enjoy in his home state of Texas. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really cool experience for both of them. CJ, I think, you know, obviously it's a big thing for this Nationals organization as a whole because he is your young star of the future. He is like the shortstop of the future. So getting him on a national stage and getting him selected like right away, like he wasn't a replacement player. He wasn't a guy that, you know, kind of like Finnegan, no shot to Kyle, but like he wasn't, you know, a last-minute addition. He was elected to the All-Star game by his peers. So I think that goes a long way to say that, hey, you know, the league recognizes that this Nationals team is getting better, that they have bright stars on the horizon, and they are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the coming seasons, and CJ is kind of leading that pack.
Washington Nationals against the Reds tonight, 6:45, as they try to make it 2 wins in a row with Mackenzie Gore on the mound, young pitcher for your Washington Nationals. What's your game preview, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at these next 2 games because Mackenzie Gore is on the mound tonight and Jake Irvin goes tomorrow afternoon. And these are 2 guys that had really strong starts to their season, especially Jake, and then really kind of tough finishes to the first half. You know, talking to Mackenzie after his last start of the first half in New York, you know, he was not really happy with how the month of June into July went for him. How does he kind of reset? I know the Nationals are trying to give them a little extra rest with the All-Star break so they can finish the second half strong. They can pitch throughout the end of the season. And Jake Irvin, he was probably worthy of an All-Star selection. He was their best starting pitcher for the first half, but his last 2 starts kind of struggled a little bit. Hopefully the rest and the reset for the All-Star break gets these 2 guys back on track and they can lead this rotation moving forward, because now we know Josiah Gray is going to be back this season. You know, Cade Cavalli is still not pitching yet. So if he comes back, it won't be until much later this season. So they're going to lean heavily on Mackenzie and Jake. So how do they start their second half? I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond after some time off.
Follow Bobby Blanco on Twitter at Bobby_Blanco. Read his work, MassinSports.com, covering the Nats for Masson Nationals. Thanks so much, Bobby.
Yeah, hey, well, thank you. Enjoy your weekend.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We'll open up the phone lines. Well, 1-800-636-1067. You could be the quarterback or GM of this segment. Give us a call, 1-800-636-1067, or you can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio at 910 at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. In terms of DC sports teams, the Washington Nationals have a game tonight at Nats Park at 6:45. We just had Bobby Blanco on the show. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, hear what he had to say about the latest injury. and the surgery that will be required for Josiah Gray. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. But I teased I was going to give out my three expectations for the Nats for the second half of their season following the All-Star break. They got a win yesterday over the Cincinnati Reds in a wild day because the Nats had the news of Josiah Gray. So they got the win 8-5, but worst-case scenario, right-handed pitcher. And the lone All-Star in 2023, Josiah Gray, will undergo elbow surgery next week, all right, after it was revealed that he has a partial tear of a UCL. Now, according to Andrew Golden of the Washington Post, they don't know what type of surgery that is going to be required, but this is a key part of the Washington Nationals' future. And you heard there from Bobby Blanco, he's not going to be available at the end of this season. There's no chance about that. And maybe not even the entire next season after he has this surgery. He's 26 years old, so he should be able to fight back from that. He told the Associated Press, Josiah Gray said, quote, "This is not going to be the end of my story. And I really hope it's not, as I had so many expectations for him this season." You heard from Bobby how big of a deal it was that he was the Nats starting pitcher to start the season, not named Strasburg, Scherzer, or Patrick Corbin. So he got hurt after two starts, and it was I kept having Bobby Blanco and Andrew Golden and Ryan Clary on my show every week, and I kept quizzing them, when are we going to see Josiah Gray? Because I just felt like something was weird about how long it had taken him to come back. He made five rehab starts during his recovery period and then was shut down after the last one on June 30th. And an MRI over All-Star break showed that the tear was discovered. Josiah Gray said, quote, "That was probably the toughest thing for me to kind of wrap my head around because I felt like I was oh so close to getting back here in the clubhouse and contributing to wins. But unfortunately, there were other plans behind the scenes, and unfortunately, I hit the hardest setback of all." Now, once again, it's unclear whether he'll have Tommy John surgery or an internal brace, but what I was reading online from CBS Sports is it's a relatively new procedure, the internal brace, as an alternative to Tommy John surgery, where the tear is located close to the bone. The internal brace procedure is much less invasive than Tommy John surgery. It comes with a shorter rehab, though it's still very lengthy. To be clear, it is unknown whether, it will have a... It's unknown whether Josiah Gray will have either of these surgeries right now, but it's just the worst-case scenario for your Washington Nationals. One of the big bright spots of their future has just been absent for basically the entire season. So my expectations for the second half of the season for the Nats, I mentioned to Bobby, number one, stay on this pace to win more than 70 games. I placed a season-long sweat on the over of 70 games thanks to our boy Ryan Clare at the beginning of the season. And I, to be honest, I was a little skeptical. I wasn't sure that they would keep improving from last season's record, this season's record. I thought there was going to be maybe a little step back. But Mike Rizzo has shown once again that he knows what he's doing. And the guys we got in return for Juan Soto are going to be the future of this organization. And we're seeing them blossom already. So my expectation, number one, is to stay on this pace. I'm hoping this team can win 75 games. Number two, it's a W again, but it's W's at home. For example, you had a great chance with eight straight games against the Mets and the Cardinals. They went 2-2 against the Mets, and then 1-3 against the Cardinals at home. I want this Nationals team to win more games at home. That's how you get a fan base fired up, and they can get back to 500 at home with just three more wins. So it's possible. Let's get it done in the second half of the season. I think that would really, really make the fan base excited for the following season if we can get to or hover around 500 at home in the second half of the season. And the third thing I'm hoping for the second half of the season is to see some of these guys get called up. He mentioned Robert Hassel. I want Dylan Cruz in the majors because it's driving me crazy seeing Paul Skenes get all the hype. And the Paul Skenes craze in the MLB, first off, it's deservedly so. He's been spectacular. All right. Made the All-Star game. Pitched. Started for the National League. He's been so good. He's put Pittsburgh baseball on the map again. But he was supposed to be a Washington National. And that's what drives me crazy. Because all of that season, it was Dylan Cruz 1. It was Paul Skeens 2. And then Paul Skeens balled out in the SEC tournament, in the NCAA tournament. And LSU won the title. And he saw himself jump over Dylan Cruz. And so I've got to see Dylan Cruz get to the majors. After the success Paul Skeens is having right away, I want to see Dylan Cruz into the majors. Those are my three things I'm hoping for the second half of the season. Honorable mention, you know, James Wood had that RBI single that brought in two runs. I want him to hit for power, start racking up some doubles and home runs in the second half of the season. Can C.J. Abrams continue to lead this team in home runs? It's been cool to see the young shortstop have the power to go yard. And then, like Bobby mentioned, Mackenzie Gore on the mound tonight, Jake Irvin tomorrow. I'm excited to see these young pitchers continue to improve and have quality starts. That's the number one thing I'm looking for with some of the young pitching staff here for your Washington Nationals. Game tonight, 6:45 against the Cincinnati Reds, as your Washington Nationals are just five games back of that final wild card spot right now, and I was hoping we'd have maybe a playoff sweat. I do think there will be sellers at the deadline, maybe a Lane Thomas, but we'll see what happens there. But look, they've done better than I expected so far, and I'm excited to watch the second half of the season here. Patrick Corbin looks pretty good on his 35th birthday last night with the Nats getting the win 8-5. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, on line one, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking the call. Smorgasbord here, but I'll just keep it to 2 points. First, I hope the Nats buys and bring up some of their top prospects where you have to lose. I hope they can make a trade or two. And also, with the Wiz, this is one and done deal. Can you imagine if Cooper Kupp was in this draft, he would have gone first. Can you imagine if they gave you Cooper Kupp next, I'm sorry, Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
I threw myself for a circle, not you. Hopefully not you, because you're the host. That'd be something next year if they get Cooper Flagg. And who would be number one this year? I mean, I think next year's draft, but we're going to have ourselves. They had at least four good guys in this draft. If they can make the playoffs, then thanks for taking my call.
Yep. Mitch, I appreciate you chiming in. You're so right about trying to see these young guys get called up to the majors for the Washington Nationals. It's a delicate situation. I don't want anyone to come up and have the Jackson Holliday situation where you're batting 0-33, not 300, 0-33 for the Orioles. And then for the Wizards, yeah, I mean, they've got to get a top 10 pick, because if not, it goes to the New York Knicks. And next year's draft has a ton of talent. We'll find out what happens, but I'm hoping the Wizards will lose a ton of games. Lose for Cooper Flagg. Wave the flag. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. Time to get up and Adam here on a Saturday morning, live and local in the nation's capital, just after 10:30 a.m. here on July 20th. And next week begins the 2024 Washington Commanders training camp. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 1-800-636-1067. But we're only taking your phone calls right now to talk about training camp for the Washington Commanders, because if you go on the website right now, it says a successful offseason program has the hype turned up high in Washington. Not going to disagree with that at all. I am absolutely fired up, and we're so excited to keep the momentum building in a couple of weeks at one of our favorite times of the year. That's right, training camp is around the corner. General admission tickets for training camp are sold out. But you can visit this page as well as the Commanders app and our social media channels to stay up to date on all things Commanders throughout training camp. They say, know before you go that parking will be available in the gray lot, that photo and video rules are not permitted during portions of 11-on-11, that the weather, rain and shine, they will have the practice, team store, player autographs, and there will be food and beverages. What I am upset about is that it's sold out. I'm upset that it's sold out. And I'm happy because Grant and Danny from G&D right here on 106.7 The Fan completely agree with me. It's a little annoying the way the Commanders have done their training camp plans here in 2024. And I think Grant said it perfectly. He said, quote, I've been very positive about almost everything this ownership group has done. They're batting like .993. Says, I am Team Adam Peters. I couldn't agree more. The limited number of practices is a misstep. It's wrong. It's incorrect. It's not the right way to do it for a team that is looking to build its fan base back up and create excitement. You need pizzazz. Pizzazz. You are looking for people to re-engage. You're looking for folks to get back in and to limit how often they can be at the facility watching football and getting excited. Nothing gets fans more fired up for the season than getting to watch a practice and get some autographs, take some pictures. That gets the juices flowing. I'm so mad about this. Grant, Danny, you're so right. I'm mad, number one, that they're still in Ashburn, right? I'm Team Josh Harris. I'm Team Adam Peters. I think they're doing everything right. But I think they had a full year to do something except for Ashburn. Selfishly, I wanted them to come back to Richmond. That's not happening. I thought those were fun. I thought it was a great chance to get away for fans that wanted to come make a day trip. It's not too far. Good facilities, plenty of space, plenty of food options. That was good training camps in my mind every year was in Richmond. I'd rather go to FedEx Field for an open practice than go to Ashburn Park. I just don't like it. And the fact that they're limiting it to a certain amount of fans and it's sold out today pisses me off. You know how bad I felt? I talked to my dad yesterday. I'm going to training camp and I'm doing live shows from there. And he said, I want to go. I'm fired up. We were season ticket holders for 17 years. I had to tell my dad, sorry, you're too late, sucker. It's sold out. There are only 5 days that were available. Then there's a season ticket member only business day. And the season ticket member ultra day. I mean, come on now. Is it for the season ticket holders? Is that what training camp's for? Or is it for the fan base? The growth of the fan base? It's a misstep. They got it wrong. They completely did. Every single practice should not be sold out right now. It should not be sold out right now. The buzz doesn't really get started in my mind until day one of practice. Then people are going to all want to go. They're going to go to the website, and they're all going to be upset to see that it's sold out. And I just don't know why you would limit the amount of people that are going to go. I get it. They didn't want to maybe do the buses and the shuttles. Are they pinching pennies there? Because I don't like the sound of that either. Everybody wants to go to training camp. The reason I'm such a diehard fan of this team is because of how great the players treated me when I was 10, 11, and 12. I have vivid memories of Santana Moss giving me a pair of gloves, of Clinton Portis taking a selfie with me. My favorite memory, even though he didn't end up being that good, was Laron Landry, like, took a photo with my friend and then put me in a headlock and gave me his towel. And he was just kind of flexing his bicep. And that's why I fell in love with this team. And when I grew up in my bedroom, I had these Redskins seat cushions that they gave out at training camp. And they were all covered with autographs. And I was going to every training camp. And I was going multiple times every year. And then in high school, I would go with my friends. And then in college, I would go to Richmond. There's so many fans that are going to miss out on training camp this year. That's not how you re-engage a fan base that needs to grow right now. Because I'm going to be a Commanders fan for the rest of my life. But I don't know about people younger than me, right? My friends have kids right now, 3, 4, 5 years old. Why wouldn't they root for the Ravens? The Ravens are spectacular. They got the coolest guy in the league in Lamar Jackson and maybe one of the second coolest in Derrick Henry. They've got a good coach, a good organization, great facilities. Oh, but they're far away. It's not that far to go to a game. I'm going to be a Commanders fan for the rest of my life. But what about people younger than me? They have to be able to go and see the players on the field. especially when you have so many rookies that people want to see, including the number two overall pick and the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. This is a mistake. It's definitely a mistake. I don't know. You know, behind the scenes, maybe they didn't have enough time to build it out better so that they could have had more people there. I just know this is a total mistake, and I think they're going to regret it. And it's frustrating. I'll be there because I'm media. I got my credential approved, but I felt bad having to tell my dad he can't go. It's sold out. Sorry. Sit at home. Watch on TV. Follow on Twitter. He doesn't know how to use Twitter. Thanks for that note, Commanders. Follow on social media. How about the people that don't know how to use social media? How do they follow along? They just want to go to training camp and see it live. The fact that it's sold out right now is very frustrating in my mind. I want to get to my training camp thoughts, though, as I am fired up. I am very excited because we have a number two overall draft pick in Jaden Daniels. This is actually the most anticipated training camp in my mind in 12 years. I'm expecting the fan base to be buzzing. I'm expecting all the stories early on to be about Jaden Daniels. And then as soon as they play a preseason game, the conversation could turn into the offensive line. What do you think is going to be the first big story to come out of Washington Commanders training camp? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't change that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. You could always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Shout out to Jordan and Dean and Mark letting me know that they are listening here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Talking about Commanders training camp here, because this is the most anticipated training camp in my mind in the last 12 years. I am super excited. What are you most excited for with the Commanders training camp beginning next week? I just gave my thoughts on how frustrated I am that it is already sold out. Let's go out to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Rob in Annapolis. What's up, Rob?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to share with you that the Ravens had the same problem for folks trying to get preseason tickets. I've tried for the last 3 years, and there have been none available. I went on the first hour that they were supposedly released, and they said none were available for any of the dates. I don't believe they're selling them. I believe they're free, and their policy is a little bit more generous. It's like as many people you can pile into your car can go in. So that's nice. But I can't seem to see any preseason action.
It's frustrating. Everybody wants to go see their team play. And I think there has to be a way to open it up and expand it for as many fans as possible. Let's go to Little in Bowie. What's going on, Little?
What's going on, Adam? Always good to chop it out with you, man. Shout out to you, man, on the mic, man. Donald. Hey, look, man, that sounds like the Jason Wright all over, man. And you know what? I'm a season ticket holder myself, though, Adam. You know, and I just look for, man, when they come back this way to the stadium, man, you know, we see the players, how they use normal do. I hope they don't change that format where we can go out and see the players at the stadium. I'm getting kind of old for that heat anyhow, Adam. But look, I'm looking for that receiver, man, to step up this year, man. I think he's going to play a major part. I think that's why they let the other guy go we had, the other receiver we had. I'm looking for that kid from Penn State to step up this year, man.
He's going to have moving to, Jahan Dotson. And Little, let me ask you a question, Little, because you just mentioned Jason Wright, and the team announced he'll be moving to a senior advisor. How would you describe his legacy in D.C.?
Man, he's been a debacle. He caused a ruckus. He's been incompetent. I can go on and on, Adam. But he, you know, like they say, I heard Rooster talking about he enhanced the crowd popular. You know, population of the people. Man, them from the other teams, man. That's why the stadium wasn't looking empty. But other than that, man, like I say, you know, man, from him Man, moving forward, man, he should have took the Green Bay job when they offered it to him, man. Simple as that, man, because he was unorthodox. And when you come into a situation where you don't really know what's going on, it's going to be screw up after screw up, man.
Yeah.
Hey, look, God bless y'all, man. Stay up.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I second, you know, your thoughts on Jason Wright from his time here, president of the Washington Commanders. Just so many things that I think could have been done better. The name change, the rebrand, the announcement, Sean Taylor statue, Sean Taylor photo with his parents in front of the Porter potty, you know, the stadium. There's so many little things that could have been done better. I will acknowledge that he was given an impossible task. He was hired by Dan Snyder. And now anybody that was hired by Dan Snyder has pretty much seen their last day in Ashburn. But with training camp beginning next week, like I said, it's the most excited I've been in 12 years. And here's what I'm expecting. All the early storylines are going to be about Jade Daniels. How does the rookie look? How does the rookie talk? How does the rookie walk? Right? How does he eat his chicken? How does he drink his Gatorade? I mean, it's literally going to be anything Jaden does is going to be front page. Right? Did he scratch?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happened when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. Time to get up and Adam here on a Saturday morning, live and local in the nation's capital, just after 10:30 a.m. here on July 20th. And next week begins the 2024 Washington Commanders training camp. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 1-800-636-1067. But we're only taking your phone calls right now to talk about training camp for the Washington Commanders. Because if you go on the website right now, it says a successful offseason program has the hype turned up high in Washington. Not going to disagree with that at all. I am absolutely fired up. And we're so excited to keep the momentum building in a couple of weeks at one of our favorite times of the year. That's right, training camp is around the corner. General admission tickets for training camp are sold out. But you can visit this page as well as the Commanders app and our social media channels to stay up to date on all things Commanders throughout training camp. They say know before you go that parking will be available in the gray lot, that photo and video rules are not permitted during portions of 11-on-11, that the weather, rain and shine, they will have the practice, team store, player autographs, and there will be food and beverages. What I am upset about is that it's sold out. I'm upset that it's sold out. And I'm happy because Grant and Danny from G&D right here on 106.7 The Fan completely agree with me. It's a little annoying the way the Commanders have done their training camp plans here in 2024. And I think Grant said it perfectly. He said, quote, I've been very positive about almost everything this ownership group has done. They're batting like .993. Says, I am Team Adam Peters. I couldn't agree more. The limited number of practices is a misstep. It's wrong. It's incorrect. It's not the right way to do it for a team that is looking to build its fan base back up and create excitement. You need pizzazz. Pizzazz. You are looking for people to re-engage. You're looking for folks to get back in and to limit how often they can be at the facility watching football and getting excited. Nothing gets fans more fired up for the season than getting to watch a practice and get some autographs, take some pictures. That gets the juices flowing. I'm so mad about this. Grandaddy, you're so right. I'm mad, number one, that they're still in Ashburn, right? I'm Team Josh Harris. I'm Team Adam Peters. I think they're doing everything right. But I think they had a full year to do something except for Ashburn. Selfishly, I wanted them to come back to Richmond. That's not happening. I thought those were fun. I thought it was a great chance to get away for fans that wanted to come make a day trip. It's not too far. Good facilities, plenty of space, plenty of food options. That was good training camps in my mind every year was in Richmond. I'd rather go to FedEx Field for an open practice than go to Ashburn Park. I just don't like it. And the fact that they're limiting it to a certain amount of fans and it's sold out today pisses me off. You know how bad I felt? I talked to my dad yesterday. I'm going to training camp, and I'm doing live shows from there. And he said, I want to go. I'm fired up. We were season ticket holders for 17 years. I had to tell my dad, sorry, you're too late, sucker. It's sold out. There are only 5 days that were available. Then there's a season ticket member only business day and the season ticket member ultra day. I mean, come on now. Is it for the season ticket holders? Is that what training camp's for? Or is it for the fan base, the growth of the fan base? It's a misstep. They got it wrong. They completely did. Every single practice should not be sold out right now. It should not be sold out right now. The buzz doesn't really get started in my mind until day one of practice. Then people are going to all want to go. They're going to go to the website, and they're all going to be upset to see that it's sold out. And I just don't know why you would limit the amount of people that are going to go. I get it. They didn't want to maybe do the buses and the shuttles. Are they pinching pennies there? Because I don't like the sound of that either. Everybody wants to go to training camp. The reason I'm such a diehard fan of this team is because of how great the players treated me when I was 10, 11, and 12. I have vivid memories of Santana Moss giving me a pair of gloves, of Clinton Portis taking a selfie with me. My favorite memory, even though he didn't end up being that good, was Laron Landry, took a photo with my friend and then put me in a headlock and gave me his towel. And he was just kind of flexing his bicep. And that's why I fell in love with this team. And when I grew up, in my bedroom, I had these Redskins seat cushions that they gave out at training camp. And they were all covered with autographs. And I was going to every training camp. And I was going multiple times every year. And then in high school, I would go with my friends. And then in college, I would go to Richmond. There's so many fans that are going to miss out on training camp this year. That's not how you re-engage a fan base that needs to grow right now. Because I'm going to be a Commanders fan for the rest of my life. But I don't know about people younger than me, right? My friends have kids right now, 3, 4, 5 years old. Why wouldn't they root for the Ravens? The Ravens are spectacular. They got the coolest guy in the league in Lamar Jackson, and maybe one of the second coolest in Derrick Henry. They've got a good coach, a good organization, great facilities. Oh, but they're far away. It's not that far to go to a game. I'm going to be a Commanders fan for the rest of my life. But what about people younger than me? They have to be able to go and see the players on the field, especially when you have so many rookies that people want to see, including the number 2 overall pick and the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. This is a mistake. It's definitely a mistake. I don't know. You know, behind the scenes, maybe they didn't have enough time to build it out better so that they could have had more people there. I just know this is a total mistake, and I think they're going to regret it. And it's frustrating. I'll be there because I'm media. I got my credential approved, but I felt bad having to tell my dad he can't go. It's sold out. Sorry. Sit at home. Watch on TV. Follow on Twitter. He doesn't know how to use Twitter. Thanks for that note, Commanders. Follow on social media. How about the people that don't know how to use social media? How do they follow along? They just want to go to training camp and see it live. The fact that it's sold out right now, it's very frustrating in my mind. I want to get to my training camp thoughts, though, as I am fired up. I am very excited because we have a number 2 overall draft pick in Jaden Daniels. This is actually the most anticipated training camp in my mind in 12 years. I'm expecting the fan base to be buzzing. I'm expecting all the stories early on to be about Jaden Daniels. And then as soon as they play a preseason game, the conversation could turn into the offensive line. What do you think is going to be the first big story to come out of Washington Commanders training camp? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't change that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. You could always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Shout out to Jordan and Dean and Mark letting me know that they are listening here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Talking about Commanders training camp here, because this is the most anticipated training camp in my mind in the last 12 years. I am super excited. What are you most excited for with the Commanders training camp beginning next week? I just gave my thoughts on how frustrated I am that it is already sold out. Let's go out to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Rob in Annapolis. What's up, Rob?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to share with you that the Ravens had the same problem for folks trying to get preseason tickets. I've tried for the last 3 years, and there have been none available. I went on the first hour that they were supposedly released, and they said none were available for any of the dates. I don't believe they're selling them. I believe they're free, and their policy is a little bit more generous. It's like as many people you can pile into your car can go in, so that's nice. But I can't seem to see any preseason action.
It's frustrating. Everybody wants to go see their team play, and I think there has to be a way to, open it up and expand it for as many fans as possible. Let's go to Little in Bowie. What's going on, Little?
What's going on, Adam? Always good to chop it out with you, man. Shout out to your man on the mic, man. Donald. Hey, look, man, that sounds like the Jason Wright all over, man. And you know what? I'm a season ticket holder myself, though, Adam. You know, and I just look for, man, when they come back this way to the stadium, man, you know, we see the players, how they usually normally do it. But I hope they don't change that format where we can go out and see the players at the stadium. I'm getting kind of old for that heat anyhow, Adam. But look, I'm looking for that receiver, man, to step up this year, man. I think he's going to play a major part. I think that's why they let the other guy go we had, the other receiver we had. I'm looking for that kid from Penn State to step up this year, man.
He's going to have to, Jahan Dotson. And Little, let me ask you a question, Little, because you just mentioned Jason Wright, and the team announced he'll be moving to a senior advisor. How would you describe his legacy in D.C.?
Man, he's been a debacle. He caused a ruckus. He's been incompetent. I can go on and on, Adam, but like they say, I heard Rooster talking about he enhanced the crowd popular, population of the people. Man, they're from no other teams, man. That's why the stadium wasn't looking empty. But other than that, man, I from him, man, moving forward, man, he should have took the Green Bay job and they offered it to him, man. Simple as that, man, because he was unorthodox. And when you come into a situation where you don't really know what's going on, it's going to be screw up after screw up, man.
Yeah.
Hey, look, God bless y'all, man. Stay up.
Yep, I'm with you, and I second your thoughts on Jason Wright from his time here, president of the Washington Commanders. Just so many things that I think could have been done better. The name change, the rebrand, the announcement, Sean Taylor statue, Sean Taylor photo with his parents in front of the porter potty, the stadium. There's so many little things that could have been done better. I will acknowledge that he was given an impossible task. He was hired by Dan Snyder. And now anybody that was hired by Dan Snyder has pretty much seen their last day in Ashburn. But with training camp beginning next week, like I said, it's the most excited I've been in 12 years. And here's what I'm expecting. All the early storylines are going to be about Jade Daniels. How does the rookie look? How does the rookie talk? How does the rookie walk? Right? How does he eat his chicken? How does he drink his Gatorade? I mean, it's literally going to be anything Jaden does is going to be front page. Right? Did he scratch his chin before a play? What does that mean? It's going to be all about Jaden, as it should be. Right? Probably the most exciting player that's come to Washington in 10 years. Maybe since they drafted Robert Griffin III. I saw this online, and I'm you never can trust what you believe online. But last season at LSU, apparently Jaden Daniels got up to a top speed of 21.8 miles per hour in a run against Florida. Tyreek Hill's top speed in 2023, 22 miles per hour. I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill, but I'm saying That's how exciting of an athlete Jaden Daniels is, to even being compared to Tyreek Hill's speed. I cannot wait to see him take off. And I don't think it's going to be much at training camp. I think they're going to save that for the regular season. But I think it's all eyes going to be on Jaden Daniels early on. And then I think the conversation will then turn to the offensive line. Well, what's the problem? Why isn't Jaden Daniels succeeding? Why is he having some issues? Oh, he's not getting the protection. Is it the right tackle, Andrew Wiley? Did they figure out the left tackle situation, or is that a nightmare? Do we bring in another left tackle, right? I keep saying by the end of preseason, before the start of the regular season, there will be another left tackle on this roster that will compete for a starting job because somebody, a veteran, will be cut by another team. And then I think we'll start having the conversation move over to the defensive side of the ball, probably after a preseason game or two. Maybe Quan Martin or Emmanuel Forbes or Mike Sanders still makes a big play. And the conversation is about, ooh, Dan Quinn's really making a difference in Joe Witt Jr.'s schemes here. They're going to cause some turnovers. And that's kind of how I think things will play out throughout training camp. A surprise cut. A lot of people have been asking me, Awan, who do you think is going to be a surprise cut this season? It feels like every year there's one surprise cut for most teams in the National Football League. On my show, I've been saying the hot take is that Zach Ertz could be cut. You know, a lot of things could happen here. I kind of think that's a hot take, even though I'm the one saying it, and he ends up on the roster just because of his relationship with Cliff Kingsbury. But the tight end is such a huge unknown, right? We have high expectations for Ben Sennett. Cole Turner has high expectations for himself to do something this season. Jack Bates, Bates is the one who's actually proved it, that he can play in the National Football League as a blocking tight end. He's not the greatest pass catcher, but he's done it, and he played a lot of snaps last season. And so I think if Senator Cole Turner explode onto the scene and look like guys that deserve a lot of playing time, then that's why I could see Zach Ertz getting cut. But the more I talk about it, the more I think he makes the roster because you want a veteran tight end to help out your young quarterback, Zach Ertz. Andrew Wiley? Probably can't get cut because I'm not sure we have an answer on the roster. If anyone is better than Andrew Wiley, then he needs to watch out. But he was awful last season. Other than that, there will be names we recognize that get cut. And there will be guys that were part of the roster last season that got cut. I don't think there will be many surprises. I think if this current front office and coaching staff did not draft you or did not sign you this offseason, I think you are in trouble of either losing your playing time or losing your job. They are breaking this roster down to the studs and then building it back up. And so I look at guys that were not drafted by Adam Peters, which is basically everybody that Ron Rivera drafted that's still on the roster. You know, Jamin Davis is going to be this is a big season for him. I don't think he gets cut, but I do think this could be a season where you see him getting less playing time and being used in a completely different spot. Like I said, Emmanuel Forbes was not drafted by this coaching staff. Mike Sandra still was. I have higher expectations for Sandra still this season than Emmanuel Forbes. The offensive line is going, it's going to be a big conversation throughout the entire training camp and maybe even during the season. And I'm hoping that the interior can be a strength. Last year, the entire offensive line was a negative, right? They never controlled the line of scrimmage. That's why we couldn't convert third and shorts. It's why our quarterback was constantly running for his life. It sped up his internal clock, and it led to him making some bad decisions. I really like the interior of the offensive line. Tyler Biadasz, some sources, I think it was Pro Football Focus, I read, had him as the 13th best center in the NFL last year. Sam Cosmi was ranked third. Nick Allegretti won a Super Bowl, came over here to be a starter. If everything goes right, the interior should be a strength. Yes, it will still be a weakness, a left tackle, a right tackle. Even if Brandon Coleman's the guy, he's the rookie at left tackle. But if the interior is a strength, I'm really interested to see how that helps the running game and the rushing attack with Cliff Kingsbury this season. If you can get some decent push, does Brian Robinson yards per carry go up maybe a whole yard? Can Austin Ekeler, with that push up the middle, breakthrough? This NFL team, the Washington Commanders that we all love, has not had a running back run for 40 or more yards on one play since 2019. It's the stat that I read this week. Since 2019, I think they need better pushes in the interior, break through the middle like Adrian Peterson did on that 98-yard run his final season with Washington. We got to have some breakaway plays from the running backs, and hopefully Austin Ekeler, Brian Robinson can be the guys to do that. Training camp position battles, ranked in terms of most important. I'll give you my list when we return. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. You could always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Shout out to Jordan and Dean and Mark letting me know that they are listening here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Talking about Commanders training camp here, because this is the most anticipated training camp in my mind in the last 12 years. I am super excited. What are you most excited for with the Commanders training camp beginning next week? I just gave my thoughts on how frustrated I am that it is already sold out. Let's go out to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Rob in Annapolis. What's up, Rob?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to share with you that the Ravens had the same problem for folks trying to get preseason tickets. I've tried for the last 3 years, and there have been none available. I went on the first hour that they were supposedly released, and they said none were available for any of the dates. I don't believe they're selling them. I believe they're free, and their policy is a little bit more generous. It's like as many people you can pile into your car can go in. So that's nice. But I can't seem to see any preseason action.
It's frustrating. Everybody wants to go see their team play. And I think there has to be a way to, open it up and expand it for as many fans as possible. Let's go to Little in Bowie. What's going on, Little?
What's going on, Adam? Always good to chop it out with you, man. Shout out to your man on the mic, man, Donald. Hey, look, man, that sounds like the Jason Wright all over, man. And you know what? I'm a season ticket holder myself, though, Adam. You know, and I just look for, man, when they come back this way to the stadium, man, you know, we see the players, how they usually normally do it. I hope they don't change that format where we can go out and see the players at the stadium. I'm getting kind of old for that heat anyhow, Adam. But look, I'm looking for that receiver, man, to step up this year, man. I think he's going to play a major part. I think that's why they let the other guy go we had, the other receiver we had. I'm looking for that kid from Penn State to step up this year, man.
He's going to have to, Jahan Dotson. And Little, let me ask you a question, Little, because you just mentioned Jason Wright, and the team announced he'll be moving to a senior advisor. How would you describe his legacy in D.C.?
Man, he's been a debacle. He caused a ruckus. He's been incompetent. I can go on and on, Adam. But I heard Rooster talking about he enhanced the crowd. The crowd population of the people. Man, them from the other teams, man. That's why the stadium wasn't looking empty. But other than that, man, from him, man, moving forward, man, he should have took the Green Bay job and they offered it to him, man. Simple as that, man, because he was unorthodox. And when you come into a situation where you don't really know what's going on, it's going to be screw up after screw up, man.
Yeah.
Hey, look, God bless y'all, man. Stay up.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I second, your thoughts on Jason Wright from his time here, president of the Washington Commanders. Just so many things that I think could have been done better. The name change, the rebrand, the announcement, Sean Taylor statue, Sean Taylor photo with his parents in front of the porter potty, the stadium. There's so many little things that could have been done better. I will acknowledge that he was given an impossible task. He was hired by Dan Snyder. And now anybody that was hired by Dan Snyder has pretty much seen their last day in Ashburn. But with training camp beginning next week, like I said, it's the most excited I've been in 12 years. And here's what I'm expecting. All the early storylines are going to be about Jade Daniels. How does the rookie look? How does the rookie talk? How does the rookie walk, right? How does he eat his chicken? How does he drink his Gatorade? I mean, it's literally going to be anything Jaden does is going to be front page, right? Did he scratch his chin before a play? What does that mean? It's going to be all about Jaden, as it should be, right? Probably the most exciting player that's come to Washington in 10 years, maybe since they drafted Robert Griffin III. I saw this online, and I'm you know, you never can trust what you believe online, but last season at LSU, apparently Jaden Daniels got up to a top speed of 21.8 miles per hour in a run against Florida. Tyreek Hill's top speed in 2023, 22 miles per hour. I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill, but I'm saying that's how exciting of an athlete Jaden Daniels is to even being compared to Tyreek Hill's speed. I cannot wait to see him take off. And I don't think it's going to be much at training camp. I think they're going to save that for the regular season. But I think it's all eyes going to be on Jaden Daniels early on. And then I think the conversation will then turn to the offensive line. Well, what's the problem? Why isn't Jaden Daniels succeeding? Why is he having some issues? Oh, he's not getting the protection. Is it the right tackle, Andrew Wiley? Did they figure out the left tackle situation, or is that a nightmare? Do we bring in another left tackle, right? I keep saying by the end of preseason, before the start of the regular season, there will be another left tackle on this roster that will compete for a starting job because somebody, a veteran, will be cut by another team. And then I think we'll start having the conversation move over to the defensive side of the ball. Probably after a preseason game or two, maybe Quan Martin or Emmanuel Forbes or Mike Sanders still makes a big play. And the conversation is about, ooh, Dan Quinn's really making a difference in Joe Witt Jr.'s schemes here. They're going to cause some turnovers. And that's kind of how I think things will play out throughout training camp. A surprise cut. A lot of people have been asking me, Awan, who do you think is going to be a surprise cut this season? It feels like every year there's one surprise cut for most teams in the National Football League. On my show, I've been saying the hot take is that Zach Ertz could be cut. You know, a lot of things could happen here. I kind of think that's a hot take, even though I'm the one saying it, and he ends up on the roster just because of his relationship with Cliff Kingsbury. But the tight end is such a huge unknown, right? We have high expectations for Ben Sennett. Cole Turner has high expectations for himself to do something this season. Jack Bates, Bates is the one who's actually proved it, that he can play in the National Football League as a blocking tight end. He's not the greatest pass catcher, but he's done it, and he played a lot of snaps last season. And so I think if Senator Cole Turner explode onto the scene and look like guys that deserve a lot of playing time, then that's why I could see Zach Ertz getting cut. But the more I talk about it, the more I think he makes the roster because you want a veteran tight end to help out your young quarterback, Zach Ertz. Andrew Wiley? Probably can't get cut because I'm not sure we have an answer on the roster. If anyone is better than Andrew Wiley, then he needs to watch out. But he was awful last season. Other than that, there will be names we recognize that get cut. And there will be guys that were part of the roster last season that got cut. I don't think there will be many surprises. I think if this current front office and coaching staff did not draft you or did not sign you this offseason, I think you are in trouble of either losing your playing time or losing your job. They are breaking this roster down to the studs and then building it back up. And so I look at guys that were not drafted by Adam Peters, which is basically everybody that Ron Rivera drafted that's still on the roster. You know, Jamin Davis is going to be – this is a big season for him. I don't think he gets cut, but I do think this could be a season where you see him getting less playing time and being used in a completely different spot. Like I said, Emmanuel Forbes was not drafted by this coaching staff. Mike Sanders still was. I've – higher expectations for Sandra still this season than Emmanuel Forbes. And then the offensive line is going, it's going to be a big conversation throughout the entire training camp and maybe even during the season. And I'm hoping that the interior can be a strength. Last year, the entire offensive line was a negative, right? They never controlled the line of scrimmage. That's why we couldn't convert third and shorts. It's why our quarterback was constantly running for his life. it sped up his internal clock, and it led to him making some bad decisions. I really like the interior of the offensive line. Tyler Biadasz, some sources, I think it was Pro Football Focus, I read, had him as the 13th best center in the NFL last year. Sam Cosmi was ranked third. Nick Allegretti won a Super Bowl, came over here to be a starter. If everything goes right, the interior should be a strength. Yes, it will still be a weakness, a left tackle, a right tackle. Even if Brandon Coleman's the guy, he's the rookie at left tackle. But if the interior is a strength, I'm really interested to see how that helps the running game and the rushing attack with Cliff Kingsbury this season. If you can get some decent push, does Brian Robinson yards per carry go up maybe a whole yard? Can Austin Ekeler, with that push up the middle, break through? This NFL team, the Washington Commanders that we all love, has not had a running back run for 40 or more yards on one play since 2019. It's the stat that I read this week. Since 2019, I think they need better pushes in the interior, break through the middle like Adrian Peterson did on that 98-yard run his final season with Washington. We got to have some breakaway plays from the running backs, and hopefully Austin Ekeler, Brian Robinson can be the guys to do that. Training camp position battles, ranked in terms of most important. I'll give you my list when we return. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.